Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Give us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 24 in unison. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is fraud. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them high, O everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, there is already a stench, because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My grandmother died over 10 years ago. She was a force of nature. We didn't always get along. Sometimes I thought her too opinionated and demanding. But she profoundly influenced my life. Just a few days ago, I was sitting in my office, sending out multiple emails, as we all do every day, right? And I started to put in an address. I can't remember now who I was writing, but do you know how our computers these days, you start to type in the email address and it tries to finish it for you, right? Well, all of a sudden, my grandmother's email address popped up. I don't know how, because this was a new computer. I've only bought it a few months ago, and I haven't sent my grandmother an email in over 10 years. It must have been God. One of those God instances, I call it. But I saw her email address, and all of a sudden, all these memories flooded into my mind about when she got her first computer and couldn't even turn it on, and she kept calling and calling and calling, asking me question after question, and how much I got annoyed. I thought about sending an email to that address. Where would it go? Would it somehow reach her somewhere out in the unknown where I can't see her? Or would it just go into somebody else's spam folder? Can we still communicate with the people that we love who have died? Can we talk to them? Jesus had friends, you know. He didn't just have disciples. We know about the disciples, but he also had some really good friends. In particular, Jesus, when he went to Jerusalem, loved to stay with a family. They lived in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and I think that maybe Jesus felt more at home there than almost anywhere else. In the family, there were two sisters and a brother. Mary, who was quiet and devout and loved to pray and think of God. Martha, who was always busy cleaning and criticizing and analyzing, definitely a busybody. And then there was Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, so it's no surprise that he never speaks in the Gospels. I imagine that when Jesus came to visit, Lazarus must have felt relieved because it balanced out the male and female in the household. I've always thought that he might have been a bit overwhelmed with his sisters. But Jesus is off traveling. He's doing his ministry. He's teaching. He's healing. When his friend Lazarus falls ill. And back then, as you well know, with very little medicine, people died so quickly from dehydration or who knows what. When Jesus first discovered that Lazarus was ill, he wasn't concerned. He didn't rush back to Bethany. And Lazarus dies. Jesus comes back to Bethany, and Mary finds him. And she's so overwhelmed with her grief that she falls down on her knees and says, "Lord, if only you had been here, you could have healed him. Where were you?" And Jesus sees his friend grieving. And he looks out over the other Jews who are grieving Lazarus' death. And the gospel writer says that Jesus is greatly disturbed. John writes that twice, that Jesus is greatly disturbed. And Jesus cries. But he's not crying for Lazarus. Lazarus' death didn't concern him at all. For Jesus, death is no more than simply a movement from one room to the next. Jesus is disturbed by the fear and the pain and the anguish of his friends who are living. It is the grief, witnessing the grief, that overwhelms Jesus. I think that for the first time, Jesus sees that for all of us, when someone dies, it seems like there is this great chasm, this great abyss which separates us from the people we love who have died. It seems like they're gone forever, and our pain, well, it can tear our hearts apart. Jesus sees Mary and Martha, and he sees their pain and their fear and their grief. And it makes him cry. There is this great divide between life and death for those who are grieving. And that divide sometimes makes us feel hopeless. My friend Peter has two girls. They're in third and fourth grade, and for the first time this past summer, he and his wife sent his girls to a summer camp in the Midwest, a sleepover camp. The girls were excited, and once they got to the camp, every night they wrote these little letters, which were so cute, about how fun it was, but how much they missed their mom and dad. Peter decided that on the last week of camp, even though the girls didn't officially end their camp until 5 o'clock on a Friday evening, Peter was going to fly to that little town on Thursday, because planes can be delayed, you know, or sometimes flights are canceled, and he wanted to make sure that he was there for his girls when camp was over. So he found himself getting to this little Midwestern town a full 24 hours before the end of camp, and he did all of his sightseeing in about 1 hour. He tried to hang out at the diner. He talked to people on the street. He read a book at the hotel. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, he had already parked his car right outside the camp and was standing around waiting for his girls. There were other parents there too. They talked about how old their kids were and whether their kids had been to this camp before, but Peter told me later he could tell that nobody was listening to anybody else. All they wanted was to see their children. The counselors at the camp knew what they were doing. They had put a rope across the driveway and with a big sign on it, and it said, "Parents, camp is not over until 5 p.m. You must wait here." By 4:30, the parents were sort of inching closer to the rope. Peter noticed that there was a dad next to him who was wearing running sneakers. And he thought, "Oh, shoot, I should have worn running sneakers. I'm wearing loafers." Closer to 5, and they began sort of elbowing each other, you know? The counselors came, and they were smart enough not to stand behind the rope where they'd probably get run over. They stood on either side of the rope, and right at 5 o'clock, they lowered the rope down to the ground so that the parents could just step over it. And the stampede began. And Peter found himself running towards his girls, and his girls were running towards him, and they hugged each other, and all was well. I think when Jesus saw the grief of Mary and Martha, he knew that he had to show them that there was nothing more than a membrane, nothing more than a rope that separates life from death, and that he could lower it, that he could cross it, that he could bring Lazarus back to show them that they weren't so far apart after all. There was a big stone rolled in front of the tomb, and Jesus said, "Roll away the stone." And I love Martha. She's so practical. She says, but it's going to stink. What a cleaning lady. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. There's going to be a smell. But they roll the stone away anyway. And Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus steps over the threshold, crosses over the line, back into the land of the living. Why did Jesus do this? Lazarus was going to die within a year again. It wasn't for Lazarus' sake that Jesus did this, but it was to show us that the line between life and death is much thinner than you think. That you can talk to the people that you love who have died. That you can say their name. And you can send them emails, even if it goes off into a spam filter. Today we're going to baptize these three beautiful little ones. We're going to make them Christians. This is the most important day of their lives. Because in their baptism, we're building a bridge from this life to the next. And they'll be able to cross over. And our love for them will link us to them forever. Throughout the centuries on this day, the church throughout the world has practiced saying aloud the names of those who we love who have died. You know, our presiding bishop is going to be consecrated right after this service. We're going to pipe the service on the internet into Tolliver Hall, so if you want to see it, you can. His name is Michael Curry, and you know what he calls us? He calls us crazy Christians. We're crazy because we don't think that death separates us from our loved ones. We know that we can't see them, but we still believe that we can talk to them and that they influence us. We believe that those who you love, who are baptized into the body of Christ, that nothing can separate us from them. Nothing. Not life or death or powers or principalities or anything else in all creation. St. Paul once wrote. And so on this day, we speak their names aloud. As you're coming up to receive communion, you'll hear them. They're still around you. And I want you to do me a favor, crazy Christians. I want you to start talking in a language that's a little bit different from the rest of the world. Because we do believe that after people die, they live in Christ if they love him. When you go to a graveyard and you say, my mother's there, don't say that. Say, my mother's remains are buried there. My father's remains are in the bishop's garden. It's not them. It's just what's left of their body. Can you do that for me? Good. And now another word of instruction. Inside of your bulletin, you will find a little piece of paper. On one side, there is a candle. And on the other side, there are a few lines. Find the piece of paper. Take it out. And there should be a pencil in your pew. I want you to write as legibly as you possibly can. Write down the names of the people that you love who have died, who have crossed over the rope that divides this life from the next. When you get to heaven, I expect that you'll be running just like Peter was running towards his girls, and you'll be running towards someone who will be running to you. Who is that person or people? What are their names? If it wouldn't be heaven without them, then they are your saints, regardless of whether they were perfect or not. If you love them enough to need to see them in heaven, you need to write their names down. We are going to pass around some little baskets, and I want you to put those pieces of paper inside the baskets. After we baptize our new Christians, we're going to celebrate communion, and as you come up for the bread and the wine, you'll hear their names read aloud, because the church believes that as we receive Jesus' body and blood, we're surrounded by our saints, the communion of saints. So let us speak their names without fear, with hope, and with love. Amen. All right, families, come on up with these beautiful little ones. Does everybody have a bulletin with them? Yeah? All right. Earthlings, you can go first. The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented. Very good. Eisners? Go ahead. Very good. Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? Congregation, we are on page 4 of your bulletin. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these children in their life in Christ?
We will.
Let us stand and join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for these children who are to receive the sacrament of new birth. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. Amen. I want to invite particularly all the children to come forward so that they can see. You all are welcome to come up. Come on up, guys. You can come. Yeah, so you can see. We continue on page 5 of your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now Father Perry is going to baptize our first little guy.
Name this child.
Graham.
Hey, Graham. Come to me. Look. Look what we have there. What is that? It's a toy. Graham, Luke, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Mama. Go to Mama. There we go. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and are marked as Christ's own forever. Yes. The Holy Spirit is here.
Name this child.
Eve Hayes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eve, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Name this child.
Brendan Hayes.
Brendan Hayes. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brendan Hayes, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon these your servants the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to the new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us welcome the newest members of St. John's Cathedral. Glad you're here with us today. Welcome. If you are a visitor or new and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up so we can find you. Keep your hands up until the gift is brought to you, okay? We're so glad you're here. Welcome, everybody. Keep those hands up until the gift comes. They're gonna bring it to you. It just takes them a minute. As I mentioned before, our presiding bishop will be installed, and David Erickson has helped us pipe it into Tolliver Hall, so we're grateful for that. So if you want to watch part of the service and have some coffee, that will be after this service. Today, Father Raja is celebrating the 23rd anniversary of his ordination. Pretty good. We're also celebrating something else. Brooks Brown is 95. Brooks, can you stand up? Yay. We'll also have birthday cake in coffee hour in Tolliver Hall. A couple of other things. Next Sunday, the Dean's Forum at 10 o'clock will begin a course on the history of the cathedral. So if you're interested, please come at 10. Also next Sunday, after church, a free lunch and Age Well Institute at Baptist Health is going to talk about dementia. So if you or a loved one is dealing with dementia, please come and hear the presentation next Sunday after church in Ingram Lounge. Wednesday, November 11th is Veterans Day, and we're going to have a special dinner to honor our veterans. We're asking veterans to bring in a picture of themselves in the service so that we can give thanks for them. And please remember there'll be a little prayer service of thanksgiving afterwards. I've heard another great thing. Today is Bishop Cervini and Emmy's what anniversary? 53? 54. Can you guys stand up? That is awesome. That is awesome. We are going to need to take down 21 bricks. 42 more families have pledged. We're taking down a wall of fear here as we bring in our pledges for the pledge drive. So can I get some help, kids? Can somebody come up, or grown-ups too? We need to take down 21 bricks. Fwed, Kareem, can you help? Yeah. Come on, let's do it. Let's bring down the bricks. And let's put them on the altar, okay? Now we need to bring this wall down to the ground in order to do what we need to do here at the cathedral. And by this point, the people who haven't pledged, usually there's something blocking you. Maybe you don't feel like it's enough. Maybe you haven't had the time to talk about it. But whatever it is, fill out the card. And remember, no gift is small for God. We're thankful for anything you can do. But please do fill out that card. Today is our official in-gathering Sunday, so we have a basket here. And there are pledge cards in your pews. Even if you've already pledged, if you would like to put that card in the basket and present your gift to God, a lot of people love that symbolic meaning, so you can do that. And I promise I won't put you down for twice the amount. But remember to make sure that you do give. It's a sign of your commitment to the church, and we desperately need all of you to fill out that card. Last but not least, please don't forget, next Sunday, Tim Tuller is going to offer a recital here at 5 o'clock in the church. We're so grateful for his beautiful music. And next Saturday, we'll be giving thanks for all the people who've pledged. You're all invited to a special champagne reception here at the church. Please call us and let us know if you're coming. Remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in the multitude of your saints you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses, that we might rejoice in their fellowship and run with endurance the race that has been set before us. And together with them receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. Now, the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. John and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Post-communion prayer is found on page 8. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you, gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth to give, serve, and love the Lord fiercely.
Thank you.